It's September 23rd, 1815. The morning sun rising over the Sahara heats up the desert to 80 degrees by 8 a.m. But Sidi Hamet doesn't feel it. He's sitting in his tent thinking about the future, and no matter which way he spins it, it's risky. Captain Riley wants Hamet to buy him and his friends and deliver them to Morocco. There, he said, a friend will pay big money for the return. $100 for the captain and $50 for each of his men. $50 is a fortune in the desert. But he's not even sure they can make it 800 miles. They will need to cross the desert, get past the Tuareg and other hostile Bedouin tribes. They have to be strong. He needs to get a better look at the men. He finds them sitting outside his tent. There are three in all, Riley and two men called Aaron and Clark. He squats down on his haunches, examining each of them closely. El Reis, have any of your men died on this journey? Riley shakes his head. None. My men are strong. They aren't used to desert conditions, but their health will improve. It gets better every day. But Hammett's not so sure. The one called Clark is skin and bones. His face is young, but he's already bent over like an old man. His scalp is cracked and oozing with sores. It will only get worse in the Sahara sun. This one is sick. He won't make it. It's not worth it. But the captain renews his pleas. He must come. Look at how much he's improved from just the drink of water you generously gave us last night. What have your men been eating? A pint of camel milk a day. We found a few snails on our own, too. Hammett sighs. The sailors will never survive the crossing without more food. Feeding them will be expensive. Do they have wives at home? Children? Both Aaron and Clark have wives, and Clark has two children. He's a soldier who has won glory in battle. Hammett nods. Men who are married fetch a better price. They have more money than single men, and they have more motivation to live. He considers. Maybe Allah has led him to this band of sailors to right all the misfortunes he's met in the desert. Maybe at last, this is his ticket to freedom. To make the life he's always dreamed of for his wife and children. A life where he doesn't have to answer to his father-in-law, Sheikh Ali. El Reis, is the money you tell me I'll get for your men, is it in the city of Suera, or must it be sent from your country? My friend is in Suera. Hammett wants to trust the captain, but it's still a risk. Okay, El Reis, but know this. If I'm able to buy you and you deceive me, I will cut your throat. Then he turns on his heels and heads toward the tent of Sadullah, the man who owns Riley. He has work to do.
You already know that Audible offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre. But did you know that they have a new collection of exclusive thrillers? Featuring captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances, you'll be kept on the edge of your seat for sure. One Audible original I'm excited to listen to is The Gray Man by Mark Greene. It's about a former CIA operative that's now a killer for hire. The Gray Man has also been adapted into a Netflix film, so I know it's going to be good. Listen along. As an Audible member, you get one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/theodds or text the odds to 500-500. That's audible.com/theodds or text the odds to 500-500.
Against the Odds is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join their over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
From Wondery, I'm Mike Corey, and this is Against the Odds. In In our last episode, Captain James Riley and his men struggled to survive the Saharan wilderness and were taken captive by Bedouin nomads. Now, they've been split up by different tribes and must do their best to find each other and get back home alive. This is episode 3, Honor Among Thieves. Captain Riley sits outside Sadula's tent, listening to two men barter for his life. Riley prays Sidi Hamet wins out. It's his only chance to get out of the desert and help his men to safety. He hears their voices growing louder. Sadula wants cloth and ostrich feathers and a fine blue linen for his wife. The items together would sell for 2 Spanish dollars in the cities on the coast, but it's a steep price for a single man. When Hamet emerges, the sun is high overhead.
Get ready, El Reis. We leave in 2 days.
Riley is overjoyed, but it only lasts a moment. Now, he has to convince Hamet to buy the rest of his men. Hamet's strides are long as he makes his way across camp. Riley struggles to keep up.
Wait, sir, please. I can't leave without the others. And Horace, I know he's here. I saw him earlier in the north side tents.
Hamet turns back, scowling.
It's impossible to transport 4 white Christians across the desert. It would be easier to lead gazelles through a lion's den.
That's not what Riley wants to hear. He has to make Hamet understand. He cannot leave without his men. He can't leave without Horace.
Sidi Hamet, please, trade me for Horace. Let me stay in his place. He's my son. I can't go back to his mother without him.
Hammett's eyes narrow. Riley can't read his expression, but he thinks his face might be softening. There's a long silence. Finally, he says,
I have a son too. I will try, but it won't be easy. The man who owns Horace is possessive. I will need to call a special counsel.
And then he's gone. That night, Riley can't sleep. From the main tent, he hears shouts. They echo across the moonless night and blend in with the distant cry of hyenas. He knows Hamet is arguing with Horace's owner, but he can't tell who's winning. Then he hears the crisp sound of swords being drawn. The yelling grows more heated. Other voices chime in. After what seems like an hour, the tent flap flies open. It's Hamet. Behind him is Horace. The boy is so thin, it breaks Riley's heart. But he's alive. And now, he belongs to Hamet. Riley rushes over and hugs the boy and then falls to his knees.
Sidi Hamet, thank you. God bless you.
The price the council set was high. I'll need to get as much for your boy as I get for you.
100.
Will you be able to get that amount from your friend?
Yes, and more. I promise.
He has Horace, but it's only one of his crew members. His other men are still here. He stays on his knees.
Please, you must buy the others. They will fetch a good price on the market. They are strong men. They're good men.
He begins to list the names of every member of the Commerce. Even the men who disappeared into the night with their captors weeks ago.
Delisle, our ship's cook. He has skills. Williams, my first mate. He can read the stars. Thomas Burns. He's older, but he has a wife and children. Archie Robbins. He's just a boy and as strong as a horse. Aaron, too. And Clark. You've seen him for yourself. He'll be well in no time.
In all his years of travel, Riley has never had to beg for the lives of men. And he can tell Hamet is angry. He is trying his patience, asking too much. But Riley can't stop.
I know Clark is sick, but I swear you'll be paid for each of them, even if they don't live through the journey. You have my word.
As the merchant considers the offer, Riley studies the scars on his face. What has he been through? Riley wonders. What has he seen? Finally, Hamet speaks.
We'll have to cross 800 miles of desert. There's little water, and the wilderness is full of bandits. But I'll do what I can to get your men.
Over the next 2 days, Hammett does his best to keep his word. He buys Burns in exchange for one blanket. He's older, not as valuable. Aaron's captor won't sell him, but he agrees to join the caravan anyway. The only one at the camp he's not able to buy is Hogan. He offers two nice blankets, but different men both claim possession and refuse to give him up. As Riley watches his shipmate walk away, his heart breaks. He's saved four of his men, but he will have to leave six of his shipmates behind. He doesn't even know where they are. Now, he needs to do whatever he can to keep those with him alive. Saeed is angry. He paces across the dirt floor of his tent, jabbing his finger into the air.
How could you do this, Hammett? You've traded away our finest linens and blankets for what? Those men are thinner than the sticks on a thorn bush. Their skin is covered in sores. How do you expect them to make this trip?
He's furious. Why does Hammett make decisions like this without his consent? He may be younger than his brother, but he's a man now. This is his fate too. Hammett speaks softly.
Saeed, we were brought here by Allah. This is our chance to make up for all of our misfortune. The captain knows people in Swara who will pay a lot of money for all of them. Enough for our families to last us our whole lives.
Saeed hates it when his brother uses that coddling, all-knowing tone. He grabs his cup of tea and slams it onto his mat to make his point. The liquid spills over the sides.
We'll never make it to Swara, Hammett. If we're not killed by the warlords, we'll have to pay the sheiks to even pass through. And most of our money is gone now, thanks to you.
You have to trust, brother. We will be led.
What choice does Saeed have? It's done. He'll obey, at least for now. The noon sun bakes down on Riley's head, making him woozy. They've only been traveling for 3 days, but the thirst is already setting in. His throat is so dry, he can't swallow. The camel meat that filled his belly just a few days ago is long gone. The water's gone too. All they've had for the past 2 days is a portion of camel urine. It's not enough. He didn't think anything could be more punishing than hunger and the endless sun. But the nights are worse. He and his men huddle together in the cold, their muscles aching so badly he feels like he's being torn apart from the inside. And then they rise to do it all again. As far as he can tell, they're traveling east, further into the desert. Riley wonders when they will cut north towards the city. He looks over at Horace. He's fast asleep on the camel, his head draped over the hump. At least he's safe. He was lucky to save four of his men, but he can't shake his guilt over the six others he left behind, scattered amongst the various factions. His dark thoughts are interrupted by Hammett.
How are you doing, Reyes?
Riley shows him the bleeding sores on his thighs.
From the camel. Can we stop? We need to rest.
Hammett laughs.
You white men are weak. You tire very easily.
He motions to the other members of Riley's crew. All three ride on a single camel. 20-year-old Aaron Savage is badly sunburned and muttering to himself. He's angry about their journey and starting to lose his mind. James Clark is as thin as a skeleton. His flesh is dry and peeling. Burns, the oldest, is almost too weak to walk.
We're not used to life in the desert. It's a terrible place. Terrible place? No, it is beautiful. It's a land of possibility. You have to look through better eyes, Race.
As they enter a canyon, Hammett rides ahead, leaving Riley alone to look at the ancient stone walls that tower over him. The rocks are bright shades of red and yellow. The only sound is the crunching of the camel's feet across the crust of salt along the desert floor. He imagines a prehistoric past when the sea washed through here for hundreds of miles, all the way to the coast. But now, there's no sign of life on the floor of the canyon, not even a shrub. From up ahead, he hears a shout.
A spring! Allah be praised!
It's Hammett. Riley's heart soars. Finding fresh water in this arid wasteland would be a miracle. It will revive his men's spirits. Riley urges the camel to go faster. When he catches up to Hammett, he looks around, but he sees nothing but giant rocks and sand. He slips off the camel and touches the stones. Bone dry. There's only a groove in the earth where a stream must have run years ago. Now it's filled with particles of dust. Riley looks at Hammett in despair.
There's nothing here. You tricked us.
I told you, Elrace. You need to look with better eyes.
Riley follows Hammett's finger. There's a narrow fissure in between two rocks. Deep in the shadows, he catches a reflection. There is water down below. Maybe Hammett is right. The desert has something to offer if you just know where to look. Hammett watches the captain hoist himself over the rocks. His arms are shaking under the strain. He disappears between the giant 20-foot boulders. Then he hears Riley shout,
"Horse! Men! Come quickly! There's water here! It's as sweet as anything you've ever tasted!"
The men quickly dismount their camel and pick their way up the slope. Hammett senses someone behind him. It's Saeed. He has a serious look on his face.
"Brother, these white men, they're slowing us down. They can barely walk. They're weak. When we get closer to civilization, they're gonna get us killed. If they don't die from the heat first."
Hammett wishes Saeed had more faith in his decisions. He misses the brother he used to know, the one who used to dream with him before he became hardened by the desert. Now, his voice is pushing, confrontational.
"How can you be sure their captain is telling the truth, Hammett? What if we make it and his friend has no money? We need to sell them off at the first opportunity."
"Saeed, it's done. Let's stay the course." But Saeed isn't convinced.
"I hope you've made the right choice, brother. If the captain is lying, we go back with nothing again, and we'll have to answer to Sheikh Ali."
Saeed knows just where to hit him. Maybe Hammett will question the captain once more. When Riley makes his way back through the rocks, his stomach is rumbling. He knew he shouldn't have drunk so much so fast. And now he and his men have to water the animals. Riley can't believe how much the camels drink. They fill a goat skin 15 times, and still they drink more. Horace's eyes grow wide.
"They'll drink the spring dry."
Riley chuckles. Horace isn't wrong. These beasts can hold up to 60 gallons of water each. When Saeed comes down, he doesn't even bother to hide his look of disgust. Riley knows he thinks they're weak and naive and isn't happy with Hammett. He hopes Hammett doesn't regret the decision to buy them. When the camels are done and they're traveling northeast again, Hammett motions for Riley to come join him in the front.
"I want to remind you, Race, that we traded everything we owned for you and your men."
His voice is stern. It almost sounds like a warning. Riley looks around. On a dune is a horned skull of a sun-bleached sheep, its hollow eyes watching them pass. The message is clear. Life in the desert is fragile, and Hammett holds their fate in his hands.
"Tell me the truth. Have you even been to Morocco?"
Riley knows Hammett makes his living by reading other men. It's like he's studying his face for the smallest twitch of dishonesty. Riley is torn. Hammett will find out eventually he's never been there, and he knows no one. But maybe Riley can come up with a plan by then. He needs to keep Hammett's trust.
"Yes, I have been to Morocco. And you have a friend who will pay your ransom."
Hammett's eyes are dark, suspicious.
"My friend will lend me any amount that I need. What is your friend's name?"
Riley hesitates for a moment. He hopes Hammett doesn't notice.
"Consul, They call him Consul. Hammond nods. I have put my faith in you, Race. Need I remind you that if you're lying to me, I will slit your throat. Riley knows the men's fortunes are now entwined. They have no choice but to trust each other. Two men from two different worlds, dependent on one another.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform. Get unparalleled access to job seekers with over 350 million monthly unique visitors globally, according to Indeed data, and an extended reach through Glassdoor. Indeed leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, so their matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. So fast that in the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data, worldwide. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/the odds. Just go to Indeed.com/the odds right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/the odds. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Aaron Savage feels a constant gnawing in his bones, an anger that clouds his thinking. It's heightened by the never-ending sun. He may only be 20 years old, but he was second mate on the Commerce. He knows how to sail a ship. He shouldn't be out here. This is all the captain's fault. It's been nothing but wind and sand for 2 days. It sucks the moisture out of his body, and the wind makes him crazy. Half the time, he can't see anyone in front of him, and he falls behind. So what if he talks to himself sometimes? Who else should he talk to? It's the only way he can think in this endless howl. They should have stayed on the beach, fended for themselves. Maybe they could have found an old tree, fashioned a pole, and caught some fish. Hell, he could probably catch them in his hands. One morning, he hears City Hammett tell Riley to ready the camels. Riley gives Aaron the job of handling the bigger one. Why should it be his job? Why can't Horace help? He's the youngest of the crew. He needs to take more responsibility. Riley's voice interrupts his thoughts. Aaron, make him kneel. You know how to do it. Of course he knows how to do it. He's done it a dozen times. But this time, he forgets to tie the camel first, and suddenly, it's off at a gallop. Then, two other camels break free and follow behind. He watches their wide back ends running off to the east, away from the caravan. It all happens so fast. Aaron can't react. He sees the traders chase after the camels at full run, sand flying behind their heels. 3 hours later, Hammett and Saeed return. They have all the camels, but they're furious. Saeed turns to Riley. This is Aaron's fault.
No, sir, it's my fault. I should have been watching more closely. Please don't punish him. He did it on purpose, Race.
As Saeed wheels his camel around, he strikes Aaron's back with his stick. It hurts, but Aaron stares back, defiantly. Let them beat him. At least it would put him out of his misery. But the captain steps in between.
Please, stop. I'll take care of it. Aaron, let's get some sleep.
On October 8th, Captain Riley hears a sound he hasn't heard in weeks. The distant sound of thunder. It's so loud, it wakes him up. He nudges his men.
Do you hear that?
He sees them nod in the moonlight.
But what is it?
Is it one of the infamous desert windstorms come to sweep them all to their deaths? But the sound isn't coming closer. It's distant, steady. The longer he listens, he's almost soothed by its rhythmic quality. It's a sound that is part of his bones. And that's when he realizes what it is.
Gentlemen, it's the sea. Somewhere over the dunes, we've come full circle. Those are waves breaking over the hull of the Commerce.
The men quietly rejoice. Those who were doubtful of Hammett's intentions feel reassured they are finally on their way to Morocco. Maybe there's a way out after all. Sidi Hammett can sense a trap. It's noon on October 8th. They've ridden all morning and now they're in the territory of the Ulad Dinim, one of the fiercest tribes in the desert. They come out of nowhere and strike travelers down without question and take everything they have and leave them to die. There are also warlords and mercenaries who control the trans-Saharan slave trade. They wander the countryside looking for small caravans, and no one goes through without their permission. Now Hammett is staring at a lone camel loaded down with large cloth sacks. An earthenware jug full of seawater is lashed to its neck, and there's no one around. He unsheathes his gun and motions to the others to get down. The only one missing is Aaron Savage. He's fallen behind again. If someone sees him, they're all dead. He'll have to go find him. He waves his gun.
Stay here. I'll be back.
As he crests the dune, Hammett stops in his tracks. In front of him is a lone trader fast asleep in the sand. He quietly bends over and studies the man closely, looking for a weapon. A slight breeze picks up, tossing the man's turban in the wind, but he doesn't stir. The rise and fall of his chest is as steady as a clock. He must have traveled all night. Hammett reaches for a small pouch and snatches it away. He tucks behind a dune and rifles through. Barley meal. He can't believe his luck. He quickly pours a large portion into his own sack, then neatly reties the trader's and places it back at his side. When he returns to the others, he dumps the meal into a bowl and adds water and offers it to Saeed and another caravaner, Abdallah. They eat with their hands. When they're done, he offers a bowl to the sailors. Riley looks at him, questioningly.
But this belongs to another man.
Hammett is confused. The way these sailors think makes no sense.
Any man stupid enough to leave his goods unguarded in the desert deserves to have them taken. Everyone knows that.
He notices the captain's disapproving tone, but that doesn't stop the sailors from ravenously eating the food.
Okay, it's time to go. And be quick about it before he wakes up.
A half hour later, he hears a shout echo through the dunes. It's the trader. He goads his camel to move more quickly, but they can't shake the man. Hammett looks on as his brother loads the musket.
Gotta give him credit. He's persistent.
The man's voice echoes on the breeze as he continues the chase. Finally, he manages to cut them off. He throws his hands in the air. Then he drops to his knees and begins to pray.
Allah, please help these good traders to see their way. To returning the goods I lost, I know they can kill me, but still they are my brothers. The God of justice is my shield and will protect the innocent.
Hammett motions to the trader to drop his scimitar. Now it's the trader's turn to look surprised.
Is it peace then? It is peace to you and to your house and to your friends. But look at the faces of my slaves. They are starving and you left your barley unattended. By the law of the desert, it's mine. But now I return it.
Hammett produces a pouch and places it on the ground in front of the man. When Hammett returns to his camel, the captain looks at him, approvingly.
You did the right thing.
Hammett grins. He opens his bag to reveal that he kept two pouches, one filled with opium and tobacco, another with gold dust. He replies,
I sure did.
For the remainder of the ride, Riley ponders the laws of the desert. Here, brute force and deceit wins out. It's a way to survive. In some ways he understands, but it also worries him. His fate and those of his men are in Hammett's hands, and Riley's not sure he can trust him. Hammett is worried. He knows that the closer they get to Swarah in such a small caravan, the more vulnerable they are to attack. This part of the Sahara is crawling with bandits. It's been a week since they met the lone traveler, and they haven't seen anyone since. Hammett is on high alert when in the distance they spot a camp. Hammett studies the clothing and tents of the nomads as they ride up. It's a small tribe of Bu Saba. Hammett quickly finds the group's leader, who introduces himself as Hazar. They are also traveling north. It's quickly agreed that it's safer to travel together. That night, as Hammett is falling asleep, he hears soft voices coming from Hazar's tent. He rolls over and looks for his brother Saeed, but he's gone. He quickly pads across the sand. When he enters the tent, he's surprised to see Saeed seated across from Hazar, discussing a trade. Riley is there too in the corner, a look of concern on his face.
"I will give you 4 camels and 3 bolts of cloth for the boy. It's a good deal. He's worth half as much."
Saeed pounds his fist on the table.
"He's worth twice as much!"
Hammett is shocked. His brother knows once negotiations begin, the unspoken rule is that it's just a matter of price. Hammett never agreed to this trade. What is Saeed doing? He watches Captain Riley try to intervene, but Saeed pushes him away. Hammett steps forward and puts his hand on Hazar's shoulder.
"My friend, we've just arrived. We've traveled a long distance and we plan to sell all of these men at the market. They aren't for trade. But when they sell, I promise the feast is on me."
Hazar laughs and backs down.
"Of course. I'll remember that. We will travel with you anyway."
Hazar is appeased for now, but Hammett can see Saeed is still seething. This isn't over yet. When the group sets out the following day, Hammett knows they need to be careful. Word is spread into the nearby towns that a company with 5 Christian slaves is making its way towards Suara. Everywhere they look, there are signs of civilization. Men with horses, small streams, even locals fishing. There are no secrets in desert towns. They must stay under the radar. Fortunately, Hazar knows the terrain better than anyone, and little by little, they get closer to their destination. On October 20th, the group rises in the morning and sits down over a bowl of dates to make a plan. There's a less traveled route down to the sea on a strip of beach 10 yards wide. Hammett and Saeed will take the sailors there. A few men on camels will ride ahead while Hazar and his men walk the cliffs above to keep an eye out for bandits. It's a glorious day. The sound of the sea calms Hammett's nerves. He can see why the captain is so drawn to the ocean, its white-capped waves, its possibility to take a man anywhere. After about 4 miles of steady progress, they round a dune, and there are 4 men blocking their path. All of them have muskets and swords. The camel riders quickly slip down, and Hammett steps forward, nodding towards his brother. They both pull out their guns. Hammett speaks first.
"Do you come in peace?"
The largest man in the group steps forward. He's grinning so widely that Hammett can see all of his rotting teeth. The man drops his gun and extends a hand.
"Peace, brother."
Hammett takes his hand, but it's a trick. The man starts to squeeze. He doesn't let go. He squeezes harder and harder until Hammett thinks his fingers might break, but he doesn't flinch. He knows not to break his gaze. Out of the corner of his eye, he sees the man's other arm lift his musket and latch his finger onto the trigger. Hammett speaks in low tones. "You don't want to do that, friend." Silently, Hazar's men appear behind the bandits, their guns trained on the thieves' backs. When the man sees them, he releases Hammett's hand and laughs loudly.
"Ha! Just a joke among friends. We'll be on our way."
But they aren't on their way. Instead, they follow behind Hammett and the sailors, hurling rocks at the cliff. Hammett won't show it, but he's shaken. He signals to Riley.
"Race, make sure your men stay close to the camels. They'll pick off anyone who falls behind. Those men
were cutthroats. They would have murdered me and my brother and taken you all away. Allah intervened.
Hammett pauses and studies Riley closely.
Would you fight to save my life, Race?
Riley doesn't hesitate.
Yes. If I am alive and I can prevent it, no one will kill you.
The firmness of the captain's voice reassures Hammett. The sailor has survived a lot, and he has proven he treats his men well. He's helped them survive, too. He has baraka, a spiritual blessing held by those close to God.
Good, Riley. You are worth fighting for.
Riley bows his head. He feels like he passed a test of some sort. He has come to respect Hammett, and he knows Hammett is taking a huge risk delivering them to Swara. Riley was speaking the truth. He would fight for him. But he can't shake off his nerves. He doesn't know the council. He doesn't know anyone in Swara. And once he's there, he'll have to perform miracles.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Saeed fingers his musket while he watches the sailors scramble up the dune from the beach. Each time one of them falls, Saeed can feel his jaw tighten. These men are weak. They have brought them nothing but trouble, and they're only slowing them down. The captain doesn't know anyone in Swara, or someone with money. Saeed is sure of it. Delivering the sailors to the city is a fool's errand. They will only try to escape once they reach the city walls. What makes it worse is that his big brother has completely lost sight of everything. He was actually on the beach talking to El Reyes, like they were friends. The more he thinks about it, the angrier he gets. And then his brother has the nerve to sidle up next to him and try to crack a joke, like nothing is wrong. Screw him. It's noon and the sun is high above them. The air shimmers in the heat. Every breath of hot air Saeed takes into his lungs only fuels his fire. Why should his brother get to decide everything anyway? These are his slaves too. It's time to show Hammett who's boss.
Stop walking! Stop!
Hammett is startled to hear his brother's voice. He hasn't spoken since they got on their camels hours ago. Now he's telling the sailors to stop?
What's going on? Saeed, we can't stop here. It's too dangerous. Men, keep walking.
Hammett sees the telltale twitch in his brother's left cheek. He's angry, but Hammett isn't prepared for the venom that comes out of his mouth.
Brother, you are a blind fool. That captain is lying to you. I am done with you making decisions for me. These slaves are mine too, and I will do with them as I please.
He's off his camel in a heartbeat, his eyes blazing. He lunges at Horace Savage and Aaron, the two youngest members of the crew. Hammett jumps off his camel and rushes at his brother. Saeed falls to the ground and drags Hammett with him. The two lock in a wrestling match, throwing fists at each other. Saeed is larger and pins him to the ground, but Hammett is quicker. He wriggles free and jumps to his feet. Suddenly, both men are running to their guns. At the same moment, they raise their muskets, cock the triggers, and aim for the other's chest. No one speaks. The sailors are frozen. Then, a voice pierces the air. It's Riley.
God, have mercy on these unfortunate brothers.
Time stands still. Has it really come down to this? Hammett wonders. Must one of them die? He drops his head and shoots his musket into the air. Then he throws the gun to the ground.
I am unarmed, Saeed.
He rips open his robe, baring his chest.
Go ahead and fire. My heart is ready for your shot. Take your vengeance on the brother who has protected you.
Saeed stares at him for a moment, then slowly turns and points his musket at Horus and Aaron.
If either of you move, I will kill you.
Hammett jumps between Saeed's gun and the boys.
Horus, go to your father. Now.
Saeed gives Hammett a look of disgust, and then he's off, running for Aaron. He pushes him to the ground and steps on his chest to keep him from moving.
Saeed, no, don't shoot him. You can take Clark. He's yours.
Saeed isn't listening. He points his gun at Aaron's face, but the young man rolls free, bolting away. Hammett tries to take a new tone, a gentle voice, as if he's speaking to the loaded gun.
Saeed, let's settle this. You can take two of the men, Clark and Burns. They're yours. No, I will keep Horus and Aaron.
Saeed, you will not separate the boy from his father. I swore an oath.
Then I will kill him instead.
Saeed is on Horus in a flash. He lifts the boy in the air and throws him headfirst onto the ground. Then, everything is silent. Captain Riley takes a few staggered steps toward the boy.
Saeed, what have you done?
Horus isn't moving. Hammett's bellowing voice pierces through the air.
Go to the camels, Riley. Now!
No, I will not leave the boy.
When he reaches Horus, he drops to the ground, cradling his head in his lap.
Horus, can you hear me?
But Horus doesn't stir. A shadow falls over the two of them. It's Hammett.
I'm so sorry, Race. How did it come to this, Hammett? He's just a boy.
He leans over and puts an ear to Horus's chest. And then he hears it. A faint heartbeat.
Hammett, he's alive.
Suddenly, Horus's eyes blink open. He looks dazed.
Captain? What happened?
Riley whispers to him softly as he picks him up and carries him to the camel.
Get us home, Hammett. Please, just get us home.
Hammett is still breathing hard when he turns back to his brother. Saeed's posture slackens. Hammett can tell his brother feels regret over his actions, but there's also a resolve in his eyes. He won't back down. And Hammett is not going to back down either.
Okay, Saeed. Let's find a village. We can rest and we can resolve our differences there.
The group moves up a hill at a rapid pace, trying to avoid any new encounters with bandits. And finally, they see a walled village. Outside one of the mud-walled houses, they're met by a pack of barking dogs, followed by a man who looks as old as the desert. His face is cracked and leathered from years in the sun. He sternly hushes the dogs, kicking at the largest.
I'm Muhammad. Come inside and tell me what I can do for you.
Hammett motions the sailors to follow. The room is small and cool, with no windows to let in the light. They've reached the end of the land of tents. This is civilization. They're close to Swera. It's time for Captain Riley to prove he was worth it. Up until now, Riley felt he was almost playing a made-up game. He was in an inhospitable land, living from day to day with a single purpose and no idea how to get there. Each moment, a series of immediate decisions focused on three simple things. Survive, save his men, and get home. Now, he sits at a table with an old man and two of his captors, and they want answers. The old man turns on a lamp and brings it close to Riley's face. He peers into his eyes, the light casting long shadows. Mohammed has one purpose here tonight. He wants to know if Riley is lying.
I have visited the consuls of Sora. Which one do you know?
The British consul, sir. I met him long ago in my travels in Morocco. Riley begins to sweat. He knows there isn't an American consul in Sora, so the British consul is the next best thing. But there's no guarantee the English will claim him and pay the ransom.
And you say he'll give you money?
Yes, yes, he will.
It's a lot of money you're asking for. How exactly do you know this man? Where did you meet him?
Riley breathes a sigh of relief when servants interrupt the conversation to bring in hot food. Hammett motions for the other sailors to join. Even Horace approaches the table, his head wrapped in a poultice. He seems to be coming around. After the meal, Hammett sends Riley away. They're going to talk amongst themselves. They speak in low tones so rapidly that Riley can only make out a few of the Arabic words. Something about traveling and horses. 3 days, they say. It must mean Sora is still 3 days away. And then they ask him to join again. This time, Hammett speaks.
Riley, I have given up everything for you. All of my money. I gave you and your men food, and I was forced to go hungry. I did this because I believe you are a man of your word, and I believe Allah is with you. Now this is our plan. Listen closely.
He tells Riley he needs to write a letter to the consul. He and Mohammed will take it to him. If the consul pays the money, Riley and his crew go free. If he doesn't, when Hammett returns, he will kill Riley for deceiving him and then sell his men to the highest bidder.
Do you understand, Race?
Riley nods.
Good. You can write your letter in the morning. For now, get some sleep.
As Riley curls up on a mat in the corner, he knows there will be no sleep for him tonight. He'll need to convince a man he's never met at an embassy that isn't his country's to ransom him at an enormous cost. If the plan is going to work, this will need to be the most powerful letter he's ever written. This is the third episode of our four-part series, Shipwreck in the Sahara. If you like our show, please give us a 5-star rating and a review. Follow Against the Odds on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, the Wondery app, or wherever you're listening right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app. Listen 1 week early and ad-free. In the episode notes, you'll find some links and offers from our sponsors. Please support them. By supporting them, you help us offer the show for free. A quick note about our scenes. In most cases, we can't exactly know what was said, but everything is based on historical research. If you'd like to learn more about this event, we highly recommend the book Skeletons on the Sahara by Dean King. I'm your host, Mike Corey. Cameron Pasha wrote this episode. Our editors are Matt Wise and Maura Walls. Our consulting producer is Dean King. Brian White is our associate producer. Our audio engineer is Sergio Enriquez. Sound design by Rob Schiliga. Our executive producers are Stephanie Jentz and Marshall Louie. For Wondery.
This episode is brought to you by the effortlessly scrumptious bite of Skinny Pop Popcorn. Imagine this, perfectly popped, endlessly delicious kernels, a symphony of just three simple ingredients, popcorn, sunflower oil, and a sprinkle of salt. No compromise, just pure snacking freedom. And hey, if you're up for a twist, dive into flavors like zesty white cheddar to sweet and salty kettle. Every bite's a delight, light and oh so tasty. Shop Skinny Pop now.